I'm privileged and honored to come before you. I just thank God that He is a way maker. See, I've been out of the way sometimes. River Cutty Hill. And He's brought me back into the way. I've been out of the way. I can admit that. But I just thank God today that He made a way. Praise God. If you will bow with me as we go before the Lord in prayer, as I prepare to bring the message today. Father God of heaven and earth, I humbly come before your flock, before your chosen and your anointed, to proclaim and declare your word. I ask that each word would edify, magnify, free, and give peace to each and every soul under the sound of my voice, that you, God, may be magnified and glorified. In the name of Jesus, I do pray. Amen. Praise God. I chose for my message today, giants, challenges, and victories. I thought it appropriate, and my scripture text is coming from 1 Samuel 17, and you're very, very familiar story. But I wanted to, before we start talking about giants and challenges and victories, I wanted to give you a definition of what I'm talking about. Okay, I think it's good to know what you're talking about before you start talking about it, right? Amen. So Webster says a giant is an imaginary mythical being of human form but superhuman size. And he says it's a person or thing of great strength, great size, great power, or great importance. Okay? So I looked at that definition and I said, well, what about that? And I thought about it, and as the Lord was giving me the message, I said, what should I say about giants? Now, I want you to go to 1 Samuel 17. And that's, let's go to verse, let's see where we are. Go to verse 34. Now, this is a very familiar story, okay? And if you read from verse 34 all the way through to verse 58, you'll find David coming up against a giant by the name of Goliath. That's where the story of David and Goliath comes from right there, okay? The whole chapter is a magnificent chapter. As I was reading it, I got tickled. But it tells about David, and David being sent by his father to deliver some food to his brothers who are on the front line of battle with the Philistines. I'm just surmising. And David did this and went up and the Philistines were on one side of a mountain and the Israelites was on the other side. And there was this giant of a man. For the summary, we all know the story. David slew Goliath and so be it, right? Praise God. And you say, now what does that have to do with your sermon today? God has impressed upon me that we all have giants in our lives. We wake up with them. We go through the day with them. You say, well, wait a minute. Your definition said that was an imaginary or superhuman, supersized thing. Isn't that the definition I just read to you? Well, I got news for you. Our old enemy, the devil, he brings giants our way each and every day. Those giant, humongous, colossal monstrosities, he brings them into our lives. You said, oh, well, Reverend, I don't know about that. You know, if you can't pay your public service bill, that's a giant. When you ain't got no heat in your house, that's a giant. I don't know about you. Being cold is a giant to me. When you can't buy a loaf of bread for your child because payday is Friday and this is Monday. My child is hungry, but I don't have enough. That's a giant for you. Am I right? I don't know about you. I've been in that situation. I don't know about you, but I have. If the doctor comes in and says to you, I got your results back, and there was a spot on your lungs, and that spot is a tumor. All of a sudden, that's a giant. You say, well, that's big stuff. Yeah, it is. God was impressing upon me as I read about David and Goliath. I say, wow, that's something. But did you know that other people, just like me and you, Mary, you done slayed your giants, haven't you? There was other giants in the Bible. Did you know that? It kind of caught me by surprise. I said, well, the only giant that was mentioned, I mean, there was giants mentioned, the giants of war, but if you go to, let's see, where did I have it at? Okay, if you went to 1 Corinthians chapter 20, just go there real quick. Just verse 4, start right there. And it starts talking about other giants in the Bible. Okay, 1 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 4. First Chronicles, okay, please forgive me. It talks about here, you see what I'm talking about? Now, y'all going to have to help me with these names because I can't pronounce half of them. Sabicha slew a giant called Sipaya. That was a giant. You don't hear about him too much, do you? Keep on reading a little bit. And it says, let's see, where are we at here? It says, Elehanan slew Lema, who just happened to be Goliath's brother. That was another giant. And I read a little bit further, and it says, Jonathan, who was David's nephew, slew a giant. And my point is this, that we all come up against giants every day, and we do slay some of them, don't we? We live the day out, and we slay them. They may not be a giant to somebody else, but they're giants to you. And God was impressing upon me strongly that each and every one of us, we wake up in the morning and we start on our way and we get out. And if the car don't crank, guess what? That's a giant. I've had that happen. I went out, turned the key, did nothing happen. And I had to be to work in about 10 minutes. And the car didn't crank. That was a giant for me. I get halfway to work, and it runs hot on me. The car is running hot on me, and it's bubbling over, and whatever else. That was a giant for me. I don't know. Maybe none of this ever happened to you, but it's happened to me. I can swear to it. And you get to work. Finally get to work. There's 10 problems on your desk. The boss is mad with you. Your coworker is talking about you behind your back. And you feel totally defeated. I don't know about you, but those times were giant problems to me. They were giant for me. I faced them, and you see me standing here today because I overcame the giants. Okay? Now, you say, all of these challenges, and you all can put into your own words some of the giants that you are facing this very day. Some of the giants you faced yesterday. And believe me, you're going to face some giants. Keep living tomorrow. Now God, through his word, he tells us some things that you need to understand. One, about giants, and two, about how to handle them. You say, well, now let me back up just a little bit and say to you, I know we do, because I do. I'm saying sermons have to be preached to me before I can deliver them to you. God says, so me, now, he said, you face some personal giants. Think about your emotions. Think about your doubts. Think about your fears. Think about your happiness. Think about your joy. And some of these things are giants. I've had some giant doubts about some things, about some people, about some jobs, about some, you name it. I've had some gigantically happy moments. I've been happier than I thought I could ever be. I've also been faced a giant of sorrow and been as sorrowful as I thought I could ever be. The one thing that I can definitely say that the Lord has always been there. No matter what giant it was, He's always been there. And I want to reassure you today that God says in His word, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Do you believe that? When the giants come up against you, I just told you they are going to. Chuck Swindoll did a dissertation one time on the radio. He says, and I'm going to paraphrase it for giants. Chuck Swindoll said, have faced a giant, okay, or facing a giant, or live long enough and you will face a giant. I just added, that's what he said. We're in one of those three states. You have had a problem,
yeah,
or having a problem. Live long enough and you will have a problem. Okay? Giants will come into your life, Reverend. They just do. Now, there are some mental giants. I don't know about you, but I've been that old giant called sadness. I've been sad. Anybody else ever been sad? I mean, really sad? I have. Have you ever been fearful? I mean, really scared of something? I have. Have you ever faced that old giant called rejection by somebody you love? I've been rejected. So I can honestly say I've faced some of these giants. I'm not telling you something that I imagine. Is something I face. Now, some of the factual giants, let's just get down to earth with it. Bills. Isn't that a giant sometimes?
Yeah.
Public service, that's a giant sometimes. And your automobile, I just mean food, relationships. Sometimes these things are giants. Now, the story of David and Goliath lets us know that there are things that we, one, should recognize. And if we do, it'll make facing some of these giants a whole lot better. Okay? Allow me to share some of these. If you recognize, one, that God is aware of the giants in your life. He's omnipotent, omnipresent, and omniscient. So He knows all, He's all powerful, and He's everywhere. Right? Yeah, everybody agree with that? Okay. So He's aware of the giants. Okay? Got that? Number two. This really grabbed me when I was there. Did you know God created the giants? That grabbed me. I said, whoa. That wouldn't be giants if God did not allow it. And God allows things in our lives so it can make us better. The third thing that I became aware of is that, guess what? God is more powerful than any giant that you might be facing. All of us can say amen to that. Am I right? I don't care what you're facing. God's word says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. That's a God that created the giant. That's a God that's aware of the giant, and he's all powerful. And I'm not denying that there's giants there. But it does make a difference how you respond. You. How do you respond to your giants? Ask yourself that. I mean, bring into mind the giants that you're facing and think about them a little bit. Not too long now. Don't go nuts with them now. And don't let them conquer you. God's word also says you're more than conquerors through Christ that strengthens you. So what does that mean? Well, the giants have no power over you. Only the power that you allow them to have. That's it. I thank God that even though we have all of these challenges and all of these things coming up against us, go with me to Mark 4:38, chapter 4, and I'm almost done. Chapter 4, let me go there. Let's go here. You know, as I was reading about giants and thinking about, okay, Mark 4, verses 38 through 40, and it reads, and he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. They're talking about Jesus here. And they awake him and said unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? These are the disciples, okay? And Jesus arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. Okay, that's Jesus talking there. And he said, and the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so afraid? How is it that ye have no faith? Think about that. One, God said that he would never leave you nor forsake you. He's right there, right with you, all the time, every time, no matter what. No matter what giant you're facing, whether it be physical, emotional, psychological, financial, whatever, he's always there. Here we go. Why haven't you taken care of this bill, Lord? Why haven't you straightened that son out of mine? Why haven't you taught that daughter of mine something that you should have taught them? They got these giant thises and these giant thats and blah, blah, blah. And we go on and on and on. God said, you read it right there. Where are you, God? When all of this was happening, when all of this was going on, where were you? God said, I was right there, waiting for you to call. And Jesus asked a very deep question there. Then he says, why are you so fearful? Yeah, the giants are there. And how is it that ye have no faith? Yeah, the giants are present, and they are big, and they are monstrous, and they are colossal, and they're ugly, and all of that stuff. But I'm right there with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. That's a promise. That's a promise. He said, I'll never. And until I come to the realization, this personal testimony, I was laying in the hospital. Man had replaced my knee. And I says, I was feeling sorry for myself, really. And he kind of did like he did with that disciple, those disciples, he says. I said, Lord, why do I have to go through this? And why am I in this pain and that pain? And he just gently spoke to me. You know. I get hard-headed and angry, and God just gently said to me, I have not left you. I was down on the pillow, and he said, peace be still. And the pain just kind of went away. And he said, now don't you know I can, I know your body? I understand the pain.
Thank you, Jesus.
I understand where you mentally are. I made you. I understand the pain that you're under. And I'm right here, and I can say, peace, be still. I mean, there's nothing like that, Reverend, when he says to you in your heart, peace, be still. I don't know if you've ever been in trouble, and God, Christ Jesus, rushed in, and he just said, peace, be still. If you've never been there, believe me, one day you're going to be there. And I want you to be in the position where Christ can say to you, peace be still. And there's no greater feeling. I mean, people don't understand you. They don't know what's going on with you. They don't know why you're acting like all stupid like you're acting. Because you've heard the voice of Christ say, peace, be still. You may not have been there yet. You may not be there now. But live long enough and you will be.
Thank you, Jesus.
When all you want Christ to say is peace, be still. I'm a living witness. I don't know where you are in your life and in what you're going through and how you go. I don't know any of the giants you're facing. I don't know, you know, some of the things you've been through, some of the things you're going through. I don't even know some of the things you're going to go through. I'm not claiming that. But what I do know, and I want you to understand, one, that Christ will never leave you or forsake you. I don't care how big the giant is. I don't care how ugly he is, as tall he is. You know, I was reading about Goliath, and I said, what does this guy look like? They said that in one of the commentaries I was reading, they said this dude was like 9 feet tall. I mean, he would have hit that door over there about chin high. 9 feet, something. That's tall. And they were saying in the commentary that his armor weighed like 125 pounds, the stuff he put on. and they went on and on, and they said that now Saul stood above, high above the Israelites. And they say Saul, King Saul, was scared to death of Goliath, because Goliath was up there. I never have read how tall Saul was, but he was tall. And then he stood above the Israelites. And Goliath had him all tangled up and worried. Isn't that the way giants do? We look at them and boy, they look big. And they scare us. And we want to turn around and run. And I thought about David. I started looking at the story of David. And so Saul told him, said, I'm going to give you my armor, David. And that Goliath guy, he's going over there. Now, that old giant, Goliath, had talked about Israel and said all kinds of nasty things about Israel. And this, I mean, just blasphemed them, man. And it was interesting to me as I saw David dealing with him. David said, no, Saul, I can't wear your armor. Your armor, I can't handle. And God started impressing upon me how David said, well, you keep your armor, Saul, and I'll pick up a couple of shiny rocks. And I'm just about done. David had some rocks and a sling. And he went out, and one thing David did, and I think we as Christians should learn to do. David went up and he started talking to the giant, and one of the things David started doing that just blessed my heart, he started rehearsing what God had done for him. Oftentimes we start asking and declaring and wanting and praying for, and we don't stop to start rehearsing what God has already done. David said, didn't David rehearse it? What did he do? He said, I came up against the bear. And God delivered me. The bear had my sheep. He, you know, chomp on my sheep. He said, I was a shepherd. And the lion came along and he grabbed my sheep by the throat. Gonna kill him. He said, and God delivered the lion unto me. Alright. See that? See how that rehearsal goes? And David went down a line of things and talked about the lion and the bear and all of this. And then David, a word of affirmation, he said, and if God can deliver me from the jaws of that lion, from the claws of that bear, he will surely deliver me from this giant. Isn't that a reassuring answer? I don't know about you, but that's reassuring to me when I come up against giants and I start rehearsing. Just try it. Start thinking about what God has done for you. Start praising him for what he has done, what he is doing, and what he will. Watch him work. I dare you. Start doing it. That was the first thing David did. The second thing, he got those stones. I start putting an analogy to those stones. They say he got some stones. And I start thinking about my own life. I say, you know, sometimes I don't use the stones God provided for me. You ever thought about that? God says if you can pick up the stone of faith, if you can pick up the stone of obedience, of submission, then I'll put them in that old sling of faith, and I'll throw it at that giant, and I'll hit him right in the eye, and he will fall flat. I dare you today. One, rehearse what God done for you. Two, take those stones that he's given. Take his word. This is a stone. You know that? If you go to God's word, he'll put a stone in your sling. And I don't care what, who, what, how big, how ugly, how tall, how anything. That stone will get him. That stone will knock him out. And David took those stones and he hit that giant in the head. That giant fell. David went, took that sword, slashed off his head. Yeah. So here he is. That was that 9-foot Goliath who had scared Israel to death almost. And here was the head of that giant. Did David defeat him because he was bigger than the giant? I don't think so. Did he defeat him because he had more strength than the giant? I don't think so. Did he defeat him because he had all of these things that we might think we have in life? No. David's response was, I went to him in the name of my God. And my God, who supplies all my needs, my God, who has all power, ever present, and knows everything, was there with me. I want to impress upon you today that, yes, indeed, we got giants in our lives. You betcha. Talk to you about those three states, have had, have giants, or you will have giants. Live long enough in one, and you'll be, you'll face them. But I want you to know one thing. We know the creator of the giants. We know a God who is more powerful than the giant. And we know a God that can destroy any giant. Basically, that's my sermon for today. And I say to you today, anyone in here that, you know, you might have a giant going on. He might be, you know, look ugly to you. He might be tall, might be 9, 10, 20 feet tall, whatever. $4,000 or $5,000 worth of giant.
Don't know how, but you get it.
A broke down car giant. You name it. Stick your own thing in there for your giant.
Not knowing how we'll get through this test.
The good news I have for you.
Holding on to faith, you know.
The best news. The most wonderful, best news of all. Christ died. So even the gigantic, colossal scenery of death that might be, he defeated that. I don't know what else. He took away the stain of death, didn't he say? Colossal thing of this coronavirus that's going on now. That's getting to be a giant, isn't it? But it's not a giant to our God. I impress upon you today, and I say to you, if there are giants in your life. Sin's a big old giant, isn't it? I mean, it can overshadow us, man. It's woo, ugly. But Christ died on a cross that even the spectrum of death is not a giant anymore. He said, I came that I might give life. And you know what? Says something else about giants. And to give it to you more abundantly. So I appeal to you, if you don't know our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, he's the giant slayer, guys. That's what I say. There ain't no giant too big for you. Situation, no circumstance, nothing. Nothing can separate us. Holding on to faith, you know that. Nothing. Remember, I think when he says nothing, that's what he means. Is that what he means? Nothing. You mean so and so? Now. You don't know the Lord today. I invite you.